to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. In these two verses, we have crammed treasures of what we call ecclesiology that would take years and books to write and explain. But, well, in the next half an hour, I'm going to try and just give you a portion of just a part of what's being said here. For those whom God foreknew, remember last week? He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Shall we pray together? Lord, we are here under your authority. And your authority, Lord, is in the form of your word, the Holy Scriptures. Will we hear it as you grant us grace? Help me to preach, Lord. And may I, Lord, even in human frailty, convey in a way the world could never understand the power of your word and your truth. Amen. Last week, we read this same passage, and we read that God has foreknown his people. All those who have been called according to his purpose were foreknown of God. Foreknown meaning loved with an everlasting love, remember? Now we carry on. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Okay, what we're being told here is that God's foreknown people are a predestinated people. Now, there may be one or two people here. In my experience, it's usually the case, who will say, what? Predestined? It's a pretty loaded term, isn't it? I know some people, even church people, who just don't like this word. It makes them uncomfortable. I've heard people say, listen, if we are predestined and you take it to its logical conclusion, then where's our freedom of choice? Isn't this fatalism? How can I be in control of my own life as a free individual if I'm predestinated? Makes some people feel very uncomfortable. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, we were doing a study on the absolute knowledge of God, the omniscience of God. And we got to a certain point, and the person involved, you won't know, and is not here today, but this person was in the meeting, never came back after this. But he suddenly stopped me halfway through the meeting. He went, whoa, whoa. I'm not joking. He pointed his finger in my face and he said, listen, you better be very careful now. We're about to go overboard. If you continue the way you're going now, do you know where we're going to end up? Brrr, and hear the drums rolling. Predestination. You see, he really felt that this was a terrible thing, and there are many people that feel this way. Maybe you're here this morning and this word kind of gives you a bit of jitters. Well, today, we have to face the simple fact that it's clearly written twice in the passage we have before us, and therefore we're obligated to consider its meaning and its implications. And I would like to say you can't really understand this passage at all unless you understand and believe in what predestination is. So I'd like you to think about this for a moment. Did you know, do you realize that Jesus was predestinated from beginning to end? Jesus, our Lord, was absolutely under the thumb of predestination. Can I prove it? It was predestinated where he would be born, how he would be born, when he would be born. It was all written down by the prophets long before it took place. It was predestined where Jesus would live, what he would do, when he would die, how he would die. In fact, it was even predestinated where he'd be buried. All written down before it happened. But do you know, it's not just Jesus that the Bible says is predestinated. Listen to Ephesians 1, verse 5. Paul writes, God predestinated us, that is the saints, to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of his will. The God of the Bible is without any dispute a predestinating God. Do you want it in God's own words? Isaiah 46 verse 10. I am God. There is no other. Now listen. I make known from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. You see, God is a predestinating God. In fact, the whole of the Bible is a clear picture of God's predestinated plan falling into place stage by stage. From the fall of Adam and Eve to the flood of Noah, to the promise given to Abraham, to the law of Moses, to the kingdoms of David and his sons, to the exile, to Christ, to the church age, you'll find this sentence written in the Greek again and again and again. Kai egeneto. Kai egeneto. It's translated in the English, in the good translations, and it came to pass. Remember it? And what it means is, that which was has now been fulfilled. God's predestination is the very fabric of the Bible story. Now, you may be here today and you may say, okay, I get that. And I realize that you can't argue with the Bible. Things are foretold that God said will happen, and they do happen again and again and again. The entire life of Christ, the church is told again and again it's predestined. We can't argue predestination's true. But is it necessary to preach it? Can't we just be content with preaching the cross of Jesus Christ and leave predestination alone? I mean, it's such a complicated subject. It's caused so many controversies in the past. You might say, well, listen, predestination's a good thing to talk about in theology faculties in the universities, but do the ordinary people in the pews need to know about this? Well, first of all, this is written to the ordinary people in Rome. This is written to the ordinary people. Obviously, God wanted you to know this. But do we need predestination to be taught? Well, what I'm going to say now, I hope will make you sit up straight and pay attention. I would like to say that if you do not believe in a predestinating God, you cannot believe in the Christian faith at all. You cannot be a true gospel-believing Christian if you don't believe in the predestinating God. What? Am I going too far? Listen to this. Please listen, because there's so much dangerous speculation on this subject. Christians are saved by faith. Anything else apart from faith? No. Faith, Paul says, Romans 1, from first to last. Now, what is Christian faith in? Christian faith is in the promises of God's word. Is that not so? Christians stand upon the promises of God. Now, what is a promise? Let me put it this way. A promise is a pre event declaration. To make a promise, you have to know for certain what is going to happen in the future. Why can only God make promises, real promises? Because only God knows the future certainly. You can't make a promise about tomorrow, a real promise, unless you're certain about what tomorrow's going to bring. Faith is believing in the predestinating God, a God who's able to guarantee what has not yet happened. Now, what God has planned to do from the beginning of the age, he told us in the Bible, it was written in Scripture, and Christians believe the word. That's faith. Therefore, predestination is an essential element of our religion. I can only believe in certain promises. What does it say in Hebrews 6? By two indisputable things, it's impossible for God to lie. What? The immutability of his counsel and the swearing of his oath. Okay, so if you're a Christian, you're a person who believes in a predetermining God. You have to be, otherwise you cannot believe in certain promise. Now, once I've got that sorted out, we'll come to the text. Now, we're told in our text for today that those whom God foreknew, that's loved from eternity, he also predestined. What does this mean, and why do we need to know this today? Why is it written here for our reading? It means that God has a very specific plan for his special people. It means that today, if you are one of God's people, if you're part of his church, then God has a very definite plan for your life. What is the plan he has for you? Well, look at the text. It is to conform you to the likeness of his son. God's plan, Christian, we are told, is to make you like Jesus. That's his plan. And long before you were born, God had already decided what you would be, where you would be born, who your parents would be. Your entire life was predetermined by God. God decided what gifts and what talents you'd have. Right now, you are the person that God decided you would be. And everything you have, everything you've been through, has been part of God's plan thus far to bring you to heaven and make you Christ-like. That's what it means. They are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if you understand what we read today in our text, it is this. If we're Christians, God is busy doing something in our lives from the moment we are born. He's opening doors. He's closing doors. He's deciding your experiences. You have the family God decreed you would have. You have the physical and the mental abilities and giftings that God gave you. You have the education, the life's experiences that God has willed for you to have. And this is all for a reason, we're told. God is busy working out his plan for your life. And here's where it becomes practical. God is using the good times and the bad times, your successes and your failures, to bring these plans to his fruition. You see, God has predestined that you will become like his son, Jesus Christ, and he's bringing you through the events of your life, making this happen moment by moment. Do you know you're the person you are today because of everything you've been through. You do know that, don't you? Now think about this. You are in this church right now. Do you know there are people out there that wouldn't dream of coming into church, especially listening to a sermon like this? Okay, maybe you didn't. Maybe you were dragged here, but for most of you, you're here. What on earth possesses you to be here today? Do you know what the Bible would say? God has been working on you. From the very start, he's conditioned you and taught you and trained you through your successes, your failures, your ups and downs, to the point where you are now. And suddenly God is real to your consciousness and you want to know more. You have been conditioned through the ups and downs of life because God's predestinated you to ultimately be as his own son in glory. And he's working on you. You are predestinated. Those whom he foreknew, he has predestined. There's no such thing as luck. No such thing as chance. No such thing as coincidence. God is day by day, crisis by crisis, challenge by challenge, transforming you from a fallen sinner, child of Adam, into his own adopted son or daughter. We read here, those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be made like his son. God is working on you. He has a plan that he's had from the beginning. Now, do you understand this here? Now we come to the real challenge. You know, I remember once preaching a similar sort of sermon to this. I was in Cape Town, and I preached a similar sort of sermon. And after the sermon, a lady cornered me. And she said, you know, if this is true, what you've just preached, I am very, very angry with God. In fact, this poor woman was in tears. It wasn't a pleasant chat. And she said, do you know what I've been through in my life? Do you know the pains I've had to suffer? Now, who was I to know what this woman had been through? And she said, and now you're telling me that all of this whole experience is part of some great cosmic plan. Well, whoopee for God, you know, she was very angry. Are you saying this is all part of some, you know, metaphysical plan? Now, I do realize this morning that this is why many people deep down struggle with the teaching of predestination. And let me make it as clear as possible. I'll explain it because it's my job to try and do this. If predestination is true, it must mean that God has not only allowed bad things to happen in our lives, but has somehow willed things to happen for purposes that we cannot comprehend. And that is where many people get very upset with this idea. You see, many people would rather believe in an almighty devil than an almighty God when it comes to bad times. They'd rather blame the devil. But you know what? We can't ignore the clear teachings of Scripture just because we don't understand them, can we? So what I thought I'd do as I round off this passage is just give you a biblical story that pretty much encapsulates, it sums up everybody's life who fall into this category, those who are foreknown and those who are predestined by God. There was once a godly young man. His name was Joseph. This young man loved God, and he was his father Jacob's favorite son. Sound familiar? He loved his son, this Jacob. And his brothers were green with envy. They hated their little brother. And one day, they got him alone. They dragged him off and sold him as a slave to some Midianite slave traders, and he was dragged away, miles away from his home, kicking and screaming. This poor young man who'd been told by God in dreams that his life was going to be wonderful. Well, that's bad enough to be hated by your brothers and sold as a slave, but he gets sold to some people in Egypt, Potiphar, and then he's falsely accused of accosting his master's wife. And he's thrown into a dungeon. And do you know what? He was probably languishing in that dungeon for years. Now that's a terrible situation, isn't it? Here's a man of God. He was a special child of God. He knew God had a wonderful plan for his life, and look at all the terrible things that happened to him. Now, many people would say, if they had a superficial understanding of Scripture, well, you can't blame God for that. I mean, it was the devil, wasn't it? He's the instigator. It was those horrible brothers. They're the baddies. It's their fault. Don't look upwards. Look to them. But you know, even though the devil is responsible for the evil that happens, and he will pay for it dearly one day, and even though the sins of men will, they'll account for their own sins one day, God, in a mysterious way, is behind all things, orchestrating all things for the good of those who love him. Joseph, as you know in the story, eventually finds favor with Pharaoh. He can interpret dreams. And he impresses Pharaoh so much that he is made prime minister, the second in command of all of Egypt. And then there comes a terrible time of famine and drought in the land. And people are starving everywhere except Egypt because he's made provision. And Joseph is able to save his entire family from certain starvation in Canaan because he's in the right place at the right time. You all know the story, don't you? But there's one verse I want to leave with you today as I sum up what I mean in this passage, what I've been trying to say. After Jacob, the father, dies in Egypt, his sons start to get a bit jittery. I don't blame them. Uh-oh, now that dad's dead, Joseph might want his revenge because we sent him as a slave. He might want to get us back now, and they're worried. So Joseph says this to them. Listen carefully. This is Genesis 50, verse 19. Listen to this. He says, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Now, the word for intended in the original Hebrew language, remember, God intended it for good. Well, the word is chashav. If you want to write that down, chashav. And it literally means, I'll look this up in my Strongs, it literally means to weave as a tapestry. Or to work out like a strategic plan. That says a lot, doesn't it? We don't quite get that in the English. God predestinated the whole thing, the good and the bad and the painful. It was somehow in God's predestinating purpose from the beginning, because Romans 8:28 tells us God works in all things. Now, what we need to take from this text this morning is this. If you're a Christian, then we're told you're foreknown by God. Remember last week's message? God's loved you with an everlasting love. You were in the book of eternal life from before the foundation of the world. He's always loved you. You've always been his. You just never knew it till the lights came on and you were effectually called. But all those who are foreknown are predestined. Predestined to what? To one day be just like Jesus, one of his brothers. So God has predestined you and he has a plan for your life. And he's working right now through the joys and the sorrows, the pains and the blessings, the successes and the failures. Hey, and you know what? He's got you so far. Listen. So far, just so far in your life, he's got you into church. When there are many people out there that couldn't give two hoots about the name Jesus, what on earth are you doing here? God's been working on you. And if he's got you thus far, can you trust him to complete his predetermined plan? I would say predestination's a good word. Please don't let people rob you of its treasure. It's your security. He will complete. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you one day spotless before the throne of glory. That can only be certain if I believe the one who promised knows the future as certainly as he knows the present. You're predestinated. You're set in eternal stone in the confidence of your salvation. Let's pray. Oh, in Jesus' name, please don't just let us forget this quickly, Lord. I pray that you'll help us realize the very ground of Christian faith is in the fact that you know the future as certainly as you know the present. Oh, Lord, thank you that we have been foreknown and that we are predestined. Father, please forgive us for being embarrassed about a word that the world hates. It is our security. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.